back for me.
Listen, Johnny!
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Bart.
Hour 2, Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. I want to thank you for listening in to us tonight. Tomorrow night, 3-hour edition. Go all the way till 1 in the morning. We'll break down both these two games we're going to talk about next. Plus, we'll be able to delve more into the matchups for the following weekend's games. Plus, a whole lot more. I want to really get into some baseball talk and college basketball with Tom tomorrow night as well. So, Tom, we know that. We already know that Dallas is going through, and we know that the Colts are going through. Let's look at the two games tomorrow so we can get down to our final eight. And, Tom, this is a pretty big playoffs for you and I. So not because I think the games are going to be exciting, which I do, but we both have that side vested interest in that our teams, our respective favorite teams, are playing tomorrow. And the last time, Tom Barton, that your Chicago Bears and my Baltimore Ravens played in the same playoff year was your first year on the air with us back in 2011 when your Bears lost to the Packers. My Ravens lost to the Steelers, so we lost to hated rivals that day, but it took a while, but we finally got back in there at the same time.
Yeah, and I think it's different feelings this time, you know. I think when you look at the Ravens and you look at the Bears, it's a renewed wow. You know, I'm going to say something a little controversial that would probably get me kicked out of Chicago here, but I expect the Bears to win tomorrow. I want the Bears to win tomorrow. I want the Bears to go far. But if they don't, Tim, it's not, well, man, we swung and missed it our shot. If they don't, I'm going, hey, I think we were a year or two early anyway, right? And we're, hey, listen, you know, got a young quarterback, got a dynamic offense, got the best defense in the NFL. They're all young. They're all fine. I feel good about where we're going. I like our coach. I like everything. From a Ravens perspective, I think you're in the same position. You're going, well, you know, I don't know what I was supposed to expect this year, but wow, Lamar Jackson, this might be a player. And Dixon, yeah, he looks pretty good. And Edwards, yeah, he looks pretty good. The defense is strong. And we re-signed Harbaugh for another year. Listen, I think we're going to come down to it. Pittsburgh's unraveling, right? Cincinnati's a joke. Wow, I feel good this year, too. So it's a weird thing. When you get into the playoffs, you have the idea, especially in the NFL, of sometimes you go, man, oh, just missed our window. Houston Texans are there today. I think Houston Texan fans are looking back and they're going, that might have been our chance. This year might have been our chance. Brady's getting older. Kansas City's young, you know. This might have been our chance, and I'm not sure we'd get back there. I'm not saying that I want or think that the Bears or the Ravens are going to lose tomorrow, but if they do, I don't think it's, oh, man, we missed our window.
Yeah, I agree. And you said it best. You said give the Bears about 3 years, and they got there early. Same thing you said about the Yankees, actually. You said give them about 3 years. They got there a year early. So, you know your teams very well. So let's start with that game. This is going to be the afternoon one tomorrow. The Bears against the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles, Tom. We're pushing about, six and a half in this game for Chicago at home. The Eagles insert Nick Foles, last year's wunderkind in the playoffs, to get him. Well, wonderkind for the season, got him in the playoffs. They end up winning the Super Bowl. An injury to Carson Wentz again this year. Same scenario, Tom. But your Bears have been just on another level this year, and especially last week. You know, you're talking about a team that didn't really have to play the way they did in that Week 17 game, but they made it a mission to go out there and have that momentum going into the playoffs.
Tim, I'm almost sick to my stomach about the ridiculous, almost vomit-inducing hot takes that are coming out of Philadelphia. And, you know, I have a lot of listeners on my other show that are from, you know, Atlantic City and the New Jersey area, southern New Jersey, which are a lot of Philly fans. The idea that Nick Foles is something more than he is absurd. Absurd. Nick Foles is who he is. And you know who he is? A backup quarterback. That's who Nick Foles is. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. Calm down, everybody. You want to go out there and you want to sit back and tell him, oh, he won the Super Bowl last year. Look at what he did this year. Carson Wentz is worlds better than him. Don't for one second think that there is a controversy there. Don't for one second think that Nick Foles is anything more than a product of right timing, right place. He's got weapons. His offensive line got a little bit healthier. Going into tomorrow, though, Tim, they don't have a running game. That's what worries me if I'm a Philly fan. Josh Adams is a nice player. I grabbed him, you know, late in the season in fantasy. I enjoyed Josh Adams. Josh Adams is not going to scare the Bears on a running situation. The Eagles don't have a running game, so it's going to be all up to Nick Foles. You know what Nick Foles has done? He's been able to sit back there in clean pockets. Against the New England Patriots, he was in clean pockets, wasn't he? Right? How did he do last year in the NFC Championship game? Was that a big offensive explosion, Tim? No, people forget that, right? People forget that that wasn't a big offensive explosion. He won the game. I would go on to say that the team won the game. Nick Foles is not a difference maker tomorrow. Nick Foles is not. I got a very, very respectful text from a Green Bay fan today, you know, our good buddy. And he said, you know, you just can't give Nick 6 points. What? Why not? What are you talking about? I don't see it, Tim. You're trying to be in the middle here. I don't see it. The Chicago Bears defense is the best in the NFL. Let me repeat that. The best defense in the NFL. The most interceptions, the most takeaways, sacks, and the best. They have the best defensive player. Yeah, I said it in Orlando, best defensive player on the field, Khalil Mack. They have superstars all over the field. This team will absolutely make Nick Foles' life a living hell tomorrow. A living hell. And then you look at the other side of the game. That Philadelphia defense was why they got to the Super Bowl last year. That Philadelphia defense, the secondary, is horrid right now. They are horrible right now. I don't want to sit here and tell you anything that isn't true. The only way that the Chicago Bears are in a game tomorrow, I mean within 20 points tomorrow, is if Mitch Trubisky shows his youth. Mitch Trubisky is a massively talented quarterback. I like what he does. He does a lot of things with his legs, which I think would be beneficial tomorrow. But he has the propensity to make that mistake pass. This is a terrible defensive backfield. I mean, the D-backs were Philadelphia. Some of them were sitting on their couch like 8 weeks ago, right? They're terrible. But Philly can get after the passer. So what you have to make sure tomorrow, if you're Mitch Trubisky, is you've got to be able to calm down, take the hit, use your legs, run around. Philadelphia struggled. They played three running quarterbacks this year. The running quarterbacks ran all over them. I expect Trubisky to have just as big a day on the ground as he does through the air. They have too many weapons, but it's the only level. You know, the bubble's going to pop for Nick Foles, and it pops tomorrow, and it pops in a big way. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Foles is a cute little story. He is not a quarterback going into Chicago and beating the number one defense in the NFL tomorrow.
That's what I've been really hearing and reading all week. Is it's not about the Bears, Tom, who are 9-1 their last 10, 7-1 in Soldier Field. It's about, oh, you let the Eagles into the playoffs, that's going to be hell. Why? Right? Isn't that the question? Why is the onus on a team that squeezed their way into the playoffs because, oh, well, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, he has bad blood with Chicago. I don't remember that going down like that. Plus, it's been, what, 4 or 5 years now, so... The made-up stories that I read to try to spin it Philadelphia's way, it's crazy. I don't know. In my mind, Tom, and I'm not a Bears fan, you know that, a lot of disrespect towards Chicago right now.
I was happy when the Eagles were coming. A team with four backup, you know, defensive backs, a backup quarterback, backup running backs, going to come into Chicago and do something? Are you kidding me? But the Bears, listen, Tim,
on a handicapping level, the Chicago Bears, the number one covering team this year. And you know how it is. They didn't. It's not the number one covering team because they were the best team in the NFL. It's because all year long, the public goes against the Bears because they didn't believe in Chicago. They didn't believe in Chicago when they beat up the Rams, right? They didn't believe in Chicago the last week of the season where they held the Minnesota Vikings to 106 yards at home. 160 yards at home. And here's the big thing, okay? Talk about last year's team to this year's team. It's the defense. They held Minnesota to 7 points. They held Atlanta to 7 points. And both of those games were in Philly. Right? Those were games in Philadelphia. The Atlanta Falcons last year? We're talking about, oh, my God, Nick Foles, right? Let's talk how crazy Nick Foles is. Against the Atlanta Falcons, Nick Foles threw for 246 yards. Against the Oakland Raiders last year, Nick Foles, 163 yards. Against the New York Giants last year, Nick Foles, 237 yards. The guy had a really tremendous Super Bowl. Super Bowl. That's what he had. Okay? Look at this year. Look at some of the numbers that he wound up putting up this year. You know, Atlanta held him to 117 yards in the first game. Yeah. I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, and you cannot compare them to last year where they had home field advantage and they put up... The first two games of the playoffs, they allowed 17 points the first two games of the playoffs because of that defense. 17 points. They let up 30 to Houston, 29 to Dallas. They let up 29 freaking points to Dallas last month, Tim. To Dallas. Are you kidding me? And here's how Philly has done against, we'll say playoff teams in the second half of their year, right after their bye week. Lost to Dallas, lost to New humiliated by New Orleans, by the way. Lost to Dallas. Humiliated by New Orleans. Lost to Dallas again. Then they squeaked one out against Houston. I mean, that's what they've done. Don't sit here and try to tell me, you people out there, that Nick Foles is something that he's not. That Nick Foles is going to lead them to the promised land. It's a ridiculous statement. Do you want to say that the team went on to Nick Foles because they're inspired? Okay, I'm listening. All right? I'll hear that argument. You're telling me that Nick Foles is a guy in this league to be scared of? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Go take Nick Foles right now. Put him on the New York Giants. Are the Giants a playoff team?
No.
No, it's not happening to him. The Nick Foles love has gone completely out of control. Oh, and by the way, when I said no running game, you want to hear the Philadelphia Eagles running game this year? Let's talk Eagles rushing attack, okay? Because not one single game this year did any Philadelphia Eagles runner have more than 85 yards. Wendell Smallwood, 53. Darren Sproles, 32. 2 weeks ago, Darren Sproles, 48. Adams, 36. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. No one has ever rushed for 85 yards, more than 85 yards, this entire season. Not against Tampa, where Clement only rushed 30. Not against the Giants, where they ran for 51. I mean, it is a ridiculous option to say that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to go in there tomorrow. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to play offense in a way where the Bears fans should be scared.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, the three-fourths of your starting secondary is done, and you're back at second and third stringers, they're going to be exposed at some point.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not telling you that Trubisky is tremendous, but he does things that bother them. Right? I mean, they have been beaten by mobile quarterbacks this year with their legs. Their mobility has really hurt the Eagles. I mean, especially a guy like Deshaun Watson, which only happened 2 weeks ago, ran all over them, and he's not even running. Yeah, I mean, he had all sorts of problems. And you look at a guy like Trubisky, you can sit back and say, well, he does this, he doesn't do that. Yeah. If he doesn't make mistakes tomorrow, the Bears win this game, and they win it with massive ease. The Bears' losses this year, let's talk about them. They had four losses this year, Tim. Four losses all year long. Week one, where Aaron Rodgers threw the ball directly into Will Fuller's hands, and Will Fuller dropped it. They lost by one in Green Bay. They kicked a field goal in Miami and missed a chip shot field goal, lost that game in overtime, lost on the last possession, the last play, to Tom Brady and New England, and then lost in overtime against the Giants. That's the four losses that the Bears have. Overtime, overtime, 1 point loss to Aaron Rodgers on the road, 7 point loss to Tom Brady on the last possession.
What's your call? Bears advance.
I think that it might be really ugly tomorrow. You know, I'm looking at this and I'm trying to sit back and kind of give you a reason why it would be even close. They might not score. I mean, this could be one of those 34-0 kind of statement games, because I still think the Bears are looking for a statement game. I think they feel disrespected.
Tom has the Bears moving on, so let's talk about the morning game, Tommy. L.A. Chargers in Baltimore take on the Ravens. The Ravens pushing about 2.5-point favorites in this football game.
Well, Tim, you know, my rant about my team. Talk to me. You talk to me. You opened up about your Ravens. I want to hear the Ravens fan honest opinion about his team.
This is a tough one, you know. The way you started the segment out talking about how these two teams renewed interest, right, for the Bears, especially after the way that they've been. And then you talk about Baltimore, which coming into the year, really looking at a lame duck head coach situation with the way that Harbaugh is being portrayed. Flacco, huge contract, possibly on the way out. And then they go into their bye week, Tom, a game under 500. Flacco gets hurt. They make the switch to their first-round pick in Lamar Miller, and they've gone 6-1 since. Put them in the playoffs. They've had some big wins, too. Big wins, including the one just a couple weeks ago on the road in L.A. that kind of put them in that position to be able to win the division. The Chargers are a great team, though. And as a fan, I am worried because I don't know if what I saw in the last 2 weeks against the Chargers and against the Browns, I'm wondering what's left there emotionally, because I think that they were in a situation, Tom, that they went from basically the season being over and talking about where Harbaugh was going to coach next year to, in rapid succession, we're on a roll. During the week, they announced that Harbaugh, they're going to bring him back for the last year on the contract to try to work out an extension, which was the right move, because if they did let him go, he'd be coaching somewhere else next year. There's no doubt about that. And then emotionally, wins over the Chargers, and then even last week's game, coming down essentially to the final play, Tom, to even make the playoffs. There's just been a lot going on here in the last 4 to 5 weeks, especially in the last 2 weeks. I don't know. As a fan, I'm spent. I really am. And I like my guys. I like the fact that they're playing at home. I think we have the coaching advantage. I think that defense, I think we have that advantage as well. But I'm worried about having a rookie quarterback playing in a playoff game. That's my initial worry.
I think you're... I'll tell you, I've gone back and forth with this game over the course of the week. I don't want to put a damper on you. My worry is not only about Lamar Jackson. I think the key here is this. Besides the fact that Lamar Jackson rushed for 67 or more yards against every single opponent, and he only rushed for 39 against the Chargers. That's a worry. But the big worry here, Lamar Jackson is that gimmicky quarterback. He's that fluky quarterback. He's that guy you don't know how to game plan against. The Ravens are the first team to see... Chargers are the first team to see him twice. The Chargers are the first team that have film on him against their defense. The Chargers are the first team that get to adjust now. Can Lamar Jackson readjust during the game? That is where I'm worried. That is where I'm really concerned, if I'm a Ravens fan, is that they've already seen him. I think the worst thing for the Ravens was meeting up with a Chargers team that has just seen him. You know, if this was the Ravens against the Patriots, for example, I actually think you have a better chance. You know, I actually do. Yeah, they're new. They're unique. You know, we haven't seen them against the Colts or the Texans. Whoa, we haven't seen this guy. We haven't seen this kind of offense. It's not playing in the NFL right now. They've seen this, and they just saw it recently.
And they sort of played to perfection. I mean, the Ravens, you can't walk away from that game and not say that when you talk about dominant, that was dominating. That was dominating. And they, I mean, the Chargers scored once, and they got the ball inside the 20, right, to get that touchdown. I've been back and forth about this game because I worry so much about a rookie quarterback. I worry so much about a rookie quarterback playing, you know, twice in a three-week span, the same team. But, man, how can you walk away from watching the Ravens and the Chargers play a couple of weeks ago and walk away with anything but saying that was one of the most dominant defensive performances of the year?
Yeah, it absolutely was. I was in the stadium, Tom, and very huge Raven following there in L.A. for that game. And what I took away from that game and what I'm going to try to apply to tomorrow's game, even though now, like you said it best, Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator in San Diego, has footage now. Gus Bradley has seen it in action. He's seen a full run of game plays through that game. We both like Gus Bradley a lot, Tommy. You know that. You know, whatever happened in Jacksonville happened, but the guy can coach a defense, and we've seen that. They're undersized at linebacker, though. And I noticed in that game, I thought you were back there running the ball. Chunks of yardage that the Ravens were able to pick up. They had three different running backs in that game, Tom, established almost 5 yards per carry every time they touched the ball. Factor that in with once they softened up that middle, the rush wasn't so much on, that when they did break, the line did break down, Lamar Jackson was able to expose those linebackers and get out of that pocket and make things happen, things that Joe Flacco just is not capable of doing with his feet. That's what I noticed. I also noticed that Keenan Allen, who's the big gun there, once, you know, the Ravens secondary is very underrated. They keyed him out. Williams had a big catch, I think. There is no tight end, basically, in San Diego right now. When Henry went out, regardless of what Steven Smith thought, when he went out, that was the factor because Antonio Gates is way beyond his prime, Tom. And, in fact, Antonio Gates was the guy that had the fumble that led Baltimore to clinching that game. But those are the things I take away is what I saw. And if you, I know the recipe is there, and you can try to adjust your defensive players. But we'll know early tomorrow when Baltimore comes out and does what Baltimore probably usually always should do is run the ball and then let the defense take over. We'll know whether Sandy or we'll know, excuse me, if LA is up to the task. And if they are, Tom, now there's an issue because what I saw Lamar Jackson as far as his ability to throw the football, I was not impressed with, even though that was his only 200-yard game was against the Chargers. Two of those were long pass completions. If they force him to throw, that's where I'm worried as a fan.
Let me ask you, Tim, how much does Melvin Gordon being healthy scare you?
Say that again?
How much does Melvin Gordon being healthy scare you?
Yeah, big factor. He was still obviously banged up a couple weeks back. You know, him so much, it's him out of the backfield is what I'm worried about because once that's established, that opens up the holes for him to run the ball. But he wasn't so much of a factor in that game because they were able to key in on it. And I think Baltimore played pretty much, like you said, a perfect game. You can't expect that again. You just have to come close. And even last week against the Browns, I know you watched that game a lot, you know, all you talked about or people were talking about was Mayfield, 300 yards against him. You know, he did what he did. But when it counted, the defense was there, and I think that's what I'm looking at tomorrow. I'm looking close game, Tom. I'm looking, again, it's going to come down to one or two big plays, and for whatever reason, it tells me in my mind that the Baltimore defense is going to be on the field for that last play.
Yeah, I wonder about Phillip Rivers right now. You know I'm a big Phillip Rivers fan, but let's talk, okay? Let's have a real talk. I've said this about Tom Brady in the past. I am the biggest Tom Brady supporter, okay? The last 4 or 5 years, and if you play fantasy football, you guys know this, Tom Brady from week about 13 through 17 slows down. He doesn't have great, you know, great numbers. He looks, I don't want to say old, he looks a little like the season gets to him. And then what does he do? He gets a bye week, and he looks great in the playoffs. We watched Drew Brees go through it this year, right? He went through about a four- or five-game lull where he didn't look so crisp. He didn't look so good. Are they going to get a week off? I think Brees is going to be fine. We've watched older players at the end of the year, 16, 17 games in training camp, just kind of slow down a little. Now, Phillip Rivers was on everyone's mind as a potential MVP candidate. I mean, that's what we were talking about, MVP Phillip Rivers. Tim, in his last five games, he's got 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Now, can Phillip Rivers elevate his game because he's a gamer, because he's a pro, because he's every other adjective that you want to go say about him? Yeah, I'm sure he can. I have no doubt that he can. Well, I shouldn't say no doubt. I was going to say I should have doubt that he can because of what I watch. He's also going up against that defense. That could make a young guy look bad. I'm really, really, really concerned about Phillip Rivers tomorrow. Not because I don't think he's a good player, but because he knows his window's closed. He knows he's smart enough. He's been in the league long enough. He knows that he's having a rough stretch here. He hasn't been performing well for the last month of the season. He knows Baltimore just frustrated him to no end. Now he's got to face him again. I wonder if Phillip Rivers is the cause of the demise tomorrow. If the Chargers lose, is it because Phillip Rivers just got tired, got old, didn't look good at the end of the year? He had a great season, phenomenal season. He was my MVP for a short period of time there. But, Tim, it happens to everybody, and it's happened to Phillip Rivers over the last month.
Well, he's, what, 40 years old? Is that right?
Yeah, 38, I think.
Okay. 38, probably body 40, a lot of hits in his career. Arms, obviously, you know, you're talking about a guy who throws 30, 40 attempts a game. And you said it, 6-6, what was it, in the last month? The last two games, Tom, he's thrown under 200 yards. He had a 300-yard game, but that was against the Chiefs, which we already talked about, that secondary. Previous to that, he barely had 200 against the Bengals. And then the Steelers, I think he had 299, and you started to see what you call the deterioration of the long season right after that game. And let's face it, there is no bye week, right? So they're going straight back into it again. You may be onto something, and we've seen it. You're right. We've seen it over the years happen because the season is so stretched out, it's so long, and it's just a tough sport to play. If they get all, and what his downfall has been in the last few weeks, Tom, is his opening drives or the first quarter, they look terrible. First play, interception against the Ravens 2 weeks ago. Last week on the opening drive, interception, Denver. So he's trying to go out there and get the team jump-started, Tommy, by putting points up on the board, and he's making mistakes. And I think that you're right that last stretch of the year has really started to affect him mentally, and now he has to go back out there on the road. That environment's going to be crazy tomorrow morning in Baltimore against the best defense in the NFL, other than Chicago, I'm sorry.
You know, I am having a hard time with this game, Tim, but I have got to just, I don't want to go against you, man. I know how much it means to you, okay? I don't want to go against you, but I have such a hard time with rookie quarterbacks. You know that. I have such a hard time with running quarterbacks. You know that. I don't like rookie quarterbacks. I don't like run-first quarterbacks. I know it's on the road. I know all of the intangibles. I know it. And I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, for you, I'm rooting for you. But I just think it's so hard to beat a team in the NFL 2 times in a row. I think it's hard to beat a veteran. I think it's hard to bet on a rookie. I think it's harder to bet on a rookie quarterback, harder to bet on a rookie quarterback that wants to run first. I think the Chargers get you tomorrow. I'm hoping for you that I'm wrong, but I think the Chargers get you tomorrow.
So what you want to see happen is Jackson get injured and they have to bring Flacco in, and then you'll change the way you feel, right?
I said it when Lamar Jackson was in there. What did I tell you? I said, Jim Harbaugh will save his job, and they will get to the playoffs if he stays with Lamar Jackson, but I don't think they win a playoff game. I think they win playoff games with Joe Flacco.
Right.
I think they can win a playoff. I think if Joe Flacco's lining up tomorrow, I think they win that game. I really do. And I know how good Lamar Jackson is. But it's the rookie aspect, and you're right. If Lamar Jackson is ineffective or hurt and Joe Flacco comes in, it changed my complete perspective. What a storybook ending that would be.
Oh, it'd be crazy. Tom, I've been back and forth all week, too. You know, I like the Chargers. I like the way they were built. I like the new regime here. The fact that the game's in Baltimore, the fact that I don't know if San Diego can stop the run is enough for me to side with my team, of course, Tom. And I want to be able, when the game is over, to send all you guys explicit filled text with F-bombs, S-bombs everywhere, talking about how we're moving on. That's what I want to do, and that's my gut feeling right now, so I'm going to go with my boys tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We have two games this weekend where I said if they win this weekend, I could literally see them in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's – but I wasn't sure they were going to win this weekend. And one is the Baltimore Ravens. I don't believe that if the Chargers win, all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to be picking them for the Super Bowl. I might, but I don't think I'm going to change automatically. The Indianapolis Colts today did that for me. And the Baltimore Ravens can do that because once Lamar Jackson has one game under his belt, hey, that's all he needs. I got to see it for one game.
Okay. We're going to take our final timeout. When we come back, talk a little UNLV basketball as we round out a Saturday night here in Las Vegas. E-Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone, this is Carrie Walsh Jennings, and you are listening to Heat Wave Sports on Fox Sports Radio.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports. Here's Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
Going to finish tonight's show talking about UNLV Rebel basketball as the Rebs tonight victorious over Wyoming over the Thomas and Mack, move to 2-0 to start their Mountain West Conference season, Tom. A couple games over 500 now. You know, we can go and discuss what we've talked about since we did the preview show. I think both you and I are still relatively on pace of where we thought the Rebels would be. There's been ups. There's definitely been downs. But what I want to concentrate on is this, what's been rumbling here in Vegas. And I know, Tom, you're keeping an eye on it because of your affiliation, not only with the show, but you know a lot of people out here, and you're on social media a lot, so you see this happening. There is a huge rush right now in that no matter if the Rebels win or lose, this hashtag Fire Marvin Menzies is making its way around, Tom. It's rearing its ugly head. And let me be the first to say, everybody knows on this show a few years back when he was hired, the day after he was hired, we went on the air. I said, what was the first thing I said, Tom? I said, I don't like this hire for the university. So be it. He's still here. What I'm seeing now, though, Tom, and you know, we have friends in the media. They're all aboard this. They're really trying to make this ugly right now, and I just don't know what's – I don't see the outcome of this happening anytime during the season. So why not this best be left for when the season ends?
Well, yeah, and it's by people in the media who, over the last decade, say one thing and then go out and say another, right? The people that, when Menzies is hired, sit back, do shows, write articles, and say, well, you know, he's good, and we're going to give him a chance. He's a great recruiter, and they love him. And then, all of a sudden, now he's not doing good. Oh, I told you from the beginning. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You liked him. Don't give me that garbage, okay? We all know it's history. You can't sit back and say it now. So now they go overboard, Tim. Look, we all make mistakes, okay? I didn't think Menzies was a terrible hire at the time. I didn't like him. I did not like him. You were completely against it. I said, it is what it is, kind of, you know? That's how I looked at it. It was what it was. But when you put your neck out there and you go, oh, it's a good hire. Oh, we like it. Now you have to overcompensate when you're in the media, especially when you're in Las Vegas media. You have to overcompensate. Well, now he's got to go. And then you can say when he does get fired or when he doesn't succeed, well, I was one of the first people to say he had to go. Or I was the loudest critic of him. It's them saving their own you-know-what, right? That's what we have going on right now. The question that I ask everybody all the time, okay, whenever we talk about in any sport, and I'm not saying he should not be fired. I'm not saying that he won't be fired. I don't think he will, but here's my answer. And here's the question that I posed to everybody. Okay, you want him fired, right? Who's next? Who do you want instead of him?
Who's coming in here? Not your wish list. Not if you can have anyone. No. Who will legitimately take the job that you know will do a better job? Now, I've come up with the list, right, Tim? I've given the list. I've given my three candidates that I think can walk in here and do a better job. I've given my three candidates that I believe are attainable candidates. I have given my three guys that UNLV will never look at because they're not high profile enough, but they're the three guys Tom Barton would hire or Tom Barton would think about hiring. They're all attainable. They're all realistic. They're all guys that I think would be a better hire than Marvin Menzies. I haven't heard one legitimate candidate out of anyone's mouth. None. Not one of these talking heads or article writers or whoever it might be gives viable candidates, people that you don't have a problem with getting as well. Yeah, well, you know what? You know, who's a candidate? Coach K. Yeah, I'd love to have him here. Give me realistic candidates. Look at a contract structure. Think about their affiliation to a school. Think about, can you lure them away? Think about, will they succeed here? Think about all of the details, and then talk about contract. And I said the same thing with Coach Sanchez. One of the things with Coach Sanchez is, me and you keep saying, you know, well, at least I've said, I don't think he's a good coach. I think he should not be here. But I know he is going to be here. And I also, this year was the year to fire him. I think it is a great idea to fire him when you have an incoming new system and new stadium. You have all the things. Well, I'm believing the same thing about Marvin Menzies here. Firing him midway through the season will do nothing but confuse, right? Firing him right now, what are you going to do? You're going to save the year? Are you kidding me? What are you saving? What year are you saving right now? So it doesn't make any sense to fire Marvin Menzies. It was a struggle of a year. Yeah, I told you that. I told you it would be a struggle of a year. Was it going to be a rough situation? Yeah, I told you it was going to be a rough situation. But firing him now does no good to the program at all. It shows instability. Then you bring in an interim. What if he does win? Then what's the problem? I mean, it gets into a whole mess. But I will say this. I want to hear the candidates. I want to hear someone come to me with three candidates. Here's who we want. Here's who we believe we can get at UNLV. And here's why they will be better than Marvin Menzies. And here's why firing him now will help me get that candidate. Because I don't think firing him now helps you get a candidate. Do you?
No. And in my mind, it's like we're not going to see a change right now. It's not going to happen. Even if they were lost tonight for some reason, he's not getting fired before the end of the year. I think they learned from their mistakes. And then
what good will it do, Tim? What good will it do to fire him right now?
Yeah, it won't do anything. Their best player is out for the year. Even with him in there, I don't think it'd been much difference. I think it's building momentum or building steam to just keep it fresh. That way, when the day the season ends, Tom, they could expect that a change will be announced. And, that's the only thing I can think of as far as why they're pushing this right now. Because, like you said, it's not going to change anything. You're going to have an interim coach. It doesn't matter. You don't want to create the mistake that you made with doing it with Rice. That was ridiculous to do it then. And now down the street, you just see UCLA did it, and they're on the hook for $4 million right now to Steve Alford because they got rid of him early. You know, just ridiculous things that schools should. There's no need to do that unless a major violation has been created and you have to do it, a la Bill Baino a few years back. But
Tim, we just had somebody write in to Twitter, bring in Steve Alford.
Okay, Tom. Why would they not bring in Steve Alford? Can't pay him, right?
I don't like it. Not only is the money not going to be shelled out for him, I don't think he's that extraordinary. Do you? I don't think UNLV, and I've said this all along, I know they want a name, I know they want a splash, I don't think they should be looking for a retread. I don't think you should be looking for somebody that got fired from somewhere else, or released from somewhere else, or let go from somewhere else. You're UNLV. You have facilities. You have a city. You should be able to go grab someone from a successful program now and take them away from that program as opposed to waiting for them to fizzle out and then get fired from another place. Why do you want someone's scraps? Why do you want another team's garbage, another team's throwaway? Why is this really where UNLV is, Tim?
It's what it's become. Steve Alford, you know, Tom, he did a great job in New Mexico back in the early 2000s with a program that I don't think the onus, you know, they do like their logo basketball, there's no doubt about it, but you're not looking at winning a national title per se. That's not the objective in New Mexico because it's far-fetched. He did a great job recruiting there, and he did a great job winning some big games in the Mountain West. When he turned his attention towards big-time school, you know, he can recruit. There's no doubt about that. His recruiting class, Tom, this year, elite, top five. X's and O's failed in a lot of places, but the characters he brought in, that's where the problem at UCLA was. You know, I don't know if that gets any better if he came here. You know, it's like you said, it's...
Yeah, you're also... look at where you're recruiting, Ken.
Right.
He doesn't have to leave his office and get five-star recruits, right?
But he, for whatever reason, it didn't work for him. The chemistry wasn't there. And I think that he's looking at a situation in New Mexico where he could bring in high schoolers and JC guys and get them the chemistry to play together. He bumps up to primetime UCLA where they're changing every year. You know, I think that was ultimately his downfall there. But I'm not so against Alford. I just don't think it's a viable option. Let's just
put it my argument here is what I've said all along. UNLV has never had a problem getting talent. It's the type of talent. Did Dave Rice recruit well? Hell yeah, he did. Did Marvin Mentes get some talent on his team? Yeah, he did. What have they done with it, though? Give me a less talented team with a better coach than a more talented team with a bad coach any day. And that's the problem with what UNLV has done over the last decade, or just about. They've gone for coaches and said, well, he's bringing in big recruits. And then they've done jack squat. They've done nothing with it. Nothing with it. Give me a coach that has no... How about this? Give me no five-star recruits, nobody that's going to play in the NBA, but compete in the Mountain West. Can we do that?
Yeah. Right. Who's the guy then, Tom? Who is it?
I think there's a couple of guys out there.
I'm giving you the...
You know, I've given the names before. I've given the names many times before. I think there's quite a few names out there that you look around and you go, yeah, I could get him. The problem with that, Tim, the problem with my reasoning, and I'll blow holes in my own reasoning, is it will not appease the boosters. It will not appease the fans because it's not going to be a name. I like basketball coaches. They want recruiters. And there's just a difference in complete philosophy of what we're aiming for. I want to bring in basketball coaches. I want to bring in guys that are winners. I don't want to go out there and find guys that, well, you know what? I don't know. They're going to recruit really well. I don't know if they're going to win, though. You know, I don't know. I mean, look, I know it's the other side of the country, so the recruiting's bad. John Becker from Vermont is a tremendous basketball coach. Tremendous basketball coach. Okay? There's a name for you. Relatively young, that's a basketball coach. He's not a name. Nobody knows him, right, Tim? Nobody, does anybody care about him? No, but John Becker makes a lot of sense. John Becker is a guy I absolutely think could succeed in the higher ranks, in the higher conference and whatnot. Now, he's an East Coast guy. I get it, so I'm blowing holes in my own theory, but that's the kind of head coach that you want. Somebody on a, you know, on a team that took minimal talent with a non-basketball school, you know, not a school like a UNLV, and they were able to recruit and able to win. Tommy Amaker from Harvard would be fantastic. I know he's not leaving Harvard, but Tommy Amaker would be fantastic. You know, why not? Why? Well, he's not a name, Tim, right? Oh, he's not a name. He's not a big enough name to go and get it. So you're going to go out there and you're going to go get a retread rather than a name. You're going to go get a retread coach instead of going out there and getting a real legitimate name, somebody that can go out and really coach. You're going to go get a name that can recruit. Give me the coach, man. And I've said this for a very, very, very long time. I think the coach is way more important than anything else.
I'm going to give you a name that I backed initially when this all went down. I'll give you a name of a guy that I think is a good basketball coach because I've seen him do it with prep students. And I'll give you a guy who he's not blowing blowing minds where he's at Southern Utah, Tom, but Todd Simon's my guy.
I love Tom. I loved Todd Simon. I thought he was going to be excellent. I thought he was the guy.
He has inroads.
Tim, what about a guy like Kyle Smith from San Francisco?
Yeah.
You know, again, he's not blowing you away, but he's winning with San Francisco. He's able to recruit with San Francisco.
Todd Simon has inroads in the community, Tommy. Todd Simon is you know, each year at Southern Utah they've gotten better, which I know.
Tim, when he came in, I was livid that they didn't give him a legitimate chance.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Todd Simon's the name.
If you're talking about coaching, that's the guy. And you know, there's this underlying, there's rumors going around that, of course, Greg Anthony's son, senior in high school, and he wants to try to get into that coaching aspect of it. Why not put him on the bench if you're going to go with the inroads and still create that community, you know, figure, a guy that was there at the time, much like they did with Augman, kind of with Rice during that end stretch. But, you know, things like that, if you want to build that up like they try to do with David Rice, that's the way you got to do it. If you bring in a big name, he's going to put guys that he's familiar with on the staff. And if you bring in a big name, you're going to pay for it. So they have to decide. And here I am, once again, pushing Marvin Menzies out the door, which hasn't happened. But I think it is going to become an issue at the end of the year. I really do. I just hope they make the right move. And that, saying that, Tom, I hope they make the right decision. It never ends well.
Yeah, you got to remember, Marvin Menzies wasn't their first choice.
No.
Right. Marvin Menzies wasn't their second choice.
He was the last
Menzies
choice.
Marvin Menzies wasn't their third choice. So, you know, I mean, it have fun and rip on, rip on them all you want, and we could destroy the administration, which everybody does. Wasn't their first choice, wasn't their second choice. I mean, this wasn't their choice, you know. Tim, what about a guy, I'm going to throw out a name, tell me why this isn't a good one. What about a guy like Kelvin Sampson?
Baggage? Would that be an issue?
Again, I'm going with the basketball coach. If you're talking about Pitino, we shouldn't be talking about baggage being a problem.
Rick never did anything, man. Come on.
Oh.
I think Kelvin Sampson, you're talking about a guy who's been Coach of the Year numerous times in whatever conference he's been in. I know he did have those violations, a few years back. But you look at what he's done basically at Houston, right? That's where he's at, Houston.
Yeah.
Consistent 20-win seasons, that's for sure. Why would he leave there?
They're 14-0 right now, ranked in the top 25.
I don't think he leaves there. They have the money to pay.
Yeah, well, that's why I was asking. I mean, he might be shooting a little high.
You know, and you look at the schedule coming up, Tom. They go to New Mexico on, I think, Tuesday night. After that, they play Air Force. They got San Jose State. They play they could, if they piece it together, we look at a team that's 4-1, 5-0 here just in about a two-week period, you know, and it's because the conference is so bad, I know that, but really, how are you going to be pushing for somebody's head when they're sitting at 4 wins, 5 wins in the conference right off the bat? It's hard to do that. It's hard to, you know, why are you creating tracks right now when it doesn't matter? That's my biggest thing is I read this, and I'm like, okay, I agree with a lot of it, but why now? It's just talking about to talk about it because nothing is going to happen.
Yeah, the people that are calling for this change to happen are doing it in their own interest, Tim. They're not thinking it through. They're doing it in their own interest. They're doing it in the interest of, I like this guy early, so I better be loud and boisterous of when I want him to go so it could seem like I wanted him to go. That's what we're dealing with. That's why you're hearing it so loud. That's why you're hearing it, you know, especially in the media suddenly. Suddenly, all of a sudden, everybody in the media suddenly hates him. Yeah, because he's a train wreck, and they want to have their quote-unquote credibility. That's why. It has nothing to do with the betterment of UNLV's basketball program, because firing him right now does nothing for the program.
Tom, we're going Bears, Ravens. You're going Bears, Chargers tomorrow.
Bears are coming up, man. I can't wait till tomorrow. I just can't wait. I am pumped up for tomorrow. I set it all aside. I mean, I watch every game, every minute of every game. This is one where people go, oh, yeah, you're going to go to the bar, you're going to watch that. Absolutely not. I'm watching it on my couch. I want no distractions. I want to watch every single play. I want to absorb this. Win or lose, I'm pumped up for the future, but I'm going to be pretty annoyed if it's a loss.
All right, Tom, talk about the show Monday through Friday and then the website where they can get on right now, get in on your selections for tomorrow.
Yeah, guys, listen, go check out Sports Garden, G-A-R-T-E-N, Sports Garden. I'm going to actually have Josh Booty on Monday, if you remember him, played baseball, played football for LSU, going to preview the national championship game. You guys want to get in touch with TomBartonSports.com. It's that simple, guys, TomBartonSports.com. No commission, no upgrades, no extra fees. I'm not telling you I'm hitting 90%. I'm telling you another winning football season at the end of the regular season at 60%. I have three plays on the board tomorrow. You get it all. No one's calling your house. You get it all. You go to TomBartonSports.com. You sign up. You get my plays. It's that simple. They're right there as soon as you sign up. So go check it out, guys. TomBartonSports.com.
All right, Tommy. 22 hours from now. Hopefully we're both in good mood.
Oh, I sure hope so. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Tom Barton, TomBartonSports.com. You heard it there. Go to the website. Get signed up, $99.95. Get you 5 weeks service. Over 63%, he said it, over at TomBartonSports.com. For Ari Platinum, I'm Tim Unglesby. We will talk to you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock at Heatwave Sports. It's Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Good night.